I would like to read our scripture for today. And once again, as a part of our worship is God's word and hearing it and giving attention to it as it is the word of God. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, today's scripture reading. And this will be the basis for our message today as well. Paul's writing to the church in Philippi, and he says this, Philippians 2, verse 9. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, that is Christ, and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Well, today marks the celebration of the historical event of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that great event with such profound redemptive significance. And what does that mean? What is that significance? That's what we're going to talk about today. And of course, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as crucified and risen, you know there's a feast of hope and peace and joy now and forever that comes from the resurrection of Jesus Christ. My prayer is that during these days of COVID-19, these difficult days, days of uncertainty and struggle, that resurrection hope would land upon your heart, that you would see that you, in fact, are His and He is Lord. And that means that we are here living lives of hope, proclaiming a message of hope, and declaring that message for all who need hope. I'd also like to make sure that each person hearing today's message who has yet to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ or is not sure if they accept the truth of His resurrection and all that that brings, that today you would hear this message as a message that's a call to you as well. Today's text is Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. And it's really the final part of Paul's hymn about Christ for the worship of Christ that he embeds in the book of Philippians as a way of encouraging those believers. But it also reminds us of the gospel message itself. And although it's not a traditional resurrection text, we're going to see today that the words of this text are profoundly about the resurrection and the significance of the resurrection for our lives, all of us today. One of the terms the Bible uses to describe the events related to the resurrection is exaltation. And that word appears here in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. It says, God has exalted him, that is Christ. And the exaltation of Christ, if we look at the Bible, there's a profound cluster of truths related to exaltation. Christ's victory over death, Christ's ascension into heaven, Christ's resurrection, of course, prior to his ascension into heaven, and Christ's coronation at the right hand of God the Father where he's seated. And all of this anticipates the reality of what is yet ahead, which is Christ coming again in glory and power, when every foe will be defeated, when death that is defeated will then be destroyed. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse tells us. So when this verse says that God has exalted him, it includes the resurrection and all those other things related to it and connected to it, victory over death, ascension into heaven, coronation of being seated at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. For those who have yet to receive the truth of Jesus crucified and risen, may I just speak to you directly just for a minute? I plead with you not to see COVID-19 and the difficulties as this time confronts us with as something that is an interruption in your reality that needs to be endured so you can go back to life the way it was before. But rather to see that God in his mercy and his sovereignty is actually revealing something to us in this. That we never were in control, were we? That suffering is always upon us, isn't it? That death, apart from the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, is a hopeless situation, isn't it? And all COVID-19 is doing is putting those things so clearly and vividly in front of us. And my appeal to you is that you would consider how the resurrection of Jesus Christ and his resulting declaration as Lord impacts you. That he is offering you today by this message his hope. I plead with you that you would consider that the presuppositions of your glasses that you wear are that which is causing you to reject Christ as risen and Lord, rather than the facts. And many allege that they are about the facts. They're a science guy or whatever you will. But in reality, the facts of history are stubborn facts that confront us with this truth. That the only plausible explanation for the eyewitness testimony, for the transformation in the lives of believers, for the church to be born, in the context of the tremendous opposition of both Rome and the religious powers of the day, the only plausible explanation is Jesus Christ is risen. And of course, that resurrection is not just a tenet of faith then, it is a fact of history then. It is a fact that calls for a response, and praise be to the name of God, it is a fact that offers us hope in a time like this, yes, but in every time of struggle, and a hope in eternity as well. Now, when Paul wrote the book of Philippians, he was writing to those who had received that hope of Jesus crucified and risen, and encouraging them to continue in that hope, declaring that hope to a world that needs hope. The past several weeks here at Trinity, we've been mining the book of Philippians for those truths and working our way through, and now we are right here at the point, Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, the resurrection and what it means. And of course, it means that those who believe in him have life in Christ and all the implications of that life. That's what Paul is writing about here in Philippians. It's as we know him by personal faith, we live life in him and grow in him and serve him for his glory on his mission until we are home with him in heaven and in eternity when he returns. When Paul proclaimed that message there in Philippi, these folks believed it. And others who heard the message through them came to believe as well. There was a church established in the town of Philippi there in Macedonia, north of Greece. And now years later, Paul is in prison in Rome, suffering greatly. And the Christians there in Philippi send Epaphroditus to Rome to encourage and minister to Paul. And now Paul is sending Epaphroditus back to Philippi with this letter that we have. We have it here in front of us in Holy Scripture. And Paul, in that letter back to the church in Philippi, tells them that the gospel is spreading. And even though he's in a difficult situation and in prison, the gospel is spreading as he's sharing the message with others, and they're sharing with others, and others are coming to believe in Jesus as he is the Savior crucified and risen. And he wants the church in Philippi to hold on to that hope and to proclaim that hope for others. And so that's what we're doing today. As believers, we're holding on to that hope. We're worshiping him, even as this text points us to the one who's worthy of worship. And we're declaring that there is hope that comes through Jesus Christ. And he is Lord. Today's text then gets into the details of that hope. We're going to talk about that. Today's text gets into the need for our response to that hope. And we're going to talk about that. And what Jesus has done by his resurrection is now a call then to a personal response of faith by those who have yet to receive him, and a joyful response of worship by those who have. Here's four things that we're going to consider today. What the resurrection of Christ shows. This is from Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. We're going to touch briefly on verses 12 and 13 as well. The resurrection of Christ shows endorsement from the Father. The resurrection of Christ shows exaltation of Christ above all powers. The resurrection of Christ shows each one will bow before him. And the resurrection of Christ shows there is empowering in the lives of believers. And we need that today. And the resurrection shows that is in fact a reality for us who are in Christ. Let's talk first about endorsement from the Father. There are many Bible verses that speak of the resurrection of Jesus. He is risen. And a number of these speak of Jesus raising himself from the dead. But the Bible also says, and this passage is one of those, that the Father raised him from the dead. Both are true. And why the Father? Why the emphasis on the Father has exalted him? The Father raised him from the dead. Well, it's because of this endorsement aspect of what the resurrection shows. Notice with me in verse 9 where it says, therefore God. That is God the Father. Years ago, a pastor that I remember vividly would regularly say when he was teaching the Bible and leading Bible studies, whenever you see the word therefore, look and see what it's there for. So when we see this word therefore, we need to see what it's there for. And what it's there for is pointing back to the death of Christ. Verse 8, became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And the therefore then shows the Father's endorsement of the validity of his death for sins. It shows the Father's endorsement of his victory over all when Jesus Christ died on the cross. You know, during these days of COVID-19, sadly, we have scammers out there that are trying to use the desperation of people and the difficulty of these times as a way to make a buck. I heard a story recently, maybe you did too, of some guys dressed up in medical suits, allegedly having a COVID-19 testing station. They had no medical validity or validation or endorsement. They had no governmental validity, validation, or endorsement. They were literally just a bunch of guys in costumes pretending. Jesus Christ and his death on the cross is not a guy in a costume pretending. He is Lord. And his resurrection is the endorsement of God the Father that Jesus did, in fact, give himself as the substitute for sins, that sins by his death are forgiven, that his victory over the forces of darkness is sure, and the resurrection of Christ shows the Father says, yes, that is true. It is the ultimate expression of those words that the Father spoke on several occasions in the earthly ministry of Jesus, where he said, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. And of course, this text points to the wonderful relationship between Father and Son in the Trinity. There's no competition. The Father delights in the Son and exalts the Son, and the Son gives glory to the Father. Look at verse 11 in the last part. Now, we could go on about this related to the Father and Son and how the Gospel of John speaks of this at some length and how the relationship with the Holy Spirit is like this as well. There is no competition among the Trinity. There's validation, and the resurrection is the validation, the endorsement of the Father, of the perfect obedience of Son and the sufficient sacrifice for sins that the Son gave for sinners to be forgiven. It has been said, and I believe it is true, that the resurrection is the Father's amen to the Son's "it is finished" shout. It is finished. Everything for your salvation is done. Amen. the resurrection says. The Father says amen. It is in fact true. In Romans chapter 4, verse 25, it speaks of that Jesus is risen for our justification. And we may tend to think of the justification of Christ as being secured by the fact that he, by his death, took upon himself the condemnation we deserve so that we are now not condemned. And that is in fact true. So why was he raised for our justification? I believe it's the same idea, that the justification in the resurrection is that the resurrection confirms that the death that he gave for our sins and the condemnation he took upon himself for us is in fact true. We could look at this related to his victory over demonic forces, Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. We could talk more and more about this, but trust me, the Bible again and again says this text is clear, therefore God. It shows the validity of all that Jesus did on the cross and the Father's endorsement of it. Let's look next at the exaltation above all powers. It's right here in this text. We've mentioned it briefly already. It says, therefore God has highly exalted him. Actually, it's probably better to translate it, exalted him to the highest place. Exalted him above all. And of course, this looks at the resurrection of Jesus Christ and all the connected events, his ascension into heaven, his seated at the right hand of God the Father, in a grand picture of saying that this is the validation, this is the confirming authentication, this is in a way the expression of a greater degree of him realizing what he already had, in that he has always been Lord, and yet the resurrection now lifts that lordship to a higher level because he has now given everything for sin and defeated the powers of darkness. And now every eye will see him. Every knee will clearly bow to him. It's been demonstrated. He is exalted above all. And it says that God the Father has bestowed on him the name that is above every name. In some sense, the fullness of the name Lord is applied now to Jesus in a greater way, now that he is risen. There's a confirmation of his deity. Romans chapter 1, verse 4 speaks of that. He was declared Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. And that word Lord here in this text is the same word that's used in the Greek translation of the Old Testament for Yahweh God, Jehovah God himself. Jesus is Lord, Jehovah God. Jesus Christ is Lord is not only something that points to, authenticates, and gives expression to his deity, but also points to and gives expression of his sovereign authority. Of course, he always was Lord. Even when he was crucified on the cross, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 tells us, those that crucified did not see and realize he was the Lord of glory. But now having been resurrected, exalted above all powers, there's a statement of Jesus' sovereign authority over all. Matthew 28, verse 18 says, therefore, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. It's in the context of his resurrection. And that's why we as believers are telling others about him, that there's only salvation in him, because he is Lord and he has authority over all. Let's think of that sovereign authority in the context of what you are going through right now, believer. I want to assure you that he is Lord. And he is filtering everything in our world, in history, and in particular in the lives of believers according to his sovereign purposes. The promise of Romans 8:28, brothers and sisters, holds true for us now. It is not true, although he is Lord, it is Romans 8:28 is not true in the lives of those who are not in Christ. But for those who are in Christ, God is working in everything for our good. To those that are called according to his purpose, to those that love him. That's clearly speaking of believers. Now, some may push back on this and say, if he's Lord, it sure doesn't look like it out there. It sure doesn't feel like that to me. And of course, the Bible points to that there is a rebellion here in this world that even though Christ is Lord, ruling and reigning, he's building his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, that it is not until he returns again that everything is brought in subjection to him. That even death itself will be the last enemy that will be destroyed. But I'd like to share an illustration with you, if I could, of what I think it is like for us in terms of that Jesus is Lord, and yet the world we live in is filled with all kinds of things that are in contradiction to that which would please Jesus. Certainly many are not submitting to him as Lord. How can this be in the midst of a COVID-19 time, you may ask? Well, let me share with you what I think many of us have experienced. Your favorite team is playing a big game, and you are unable to watch the game, but you record the game. And then you hear, somehow, that your team wins. Your team has won the game, you've recorded the game, and then you watch the game. And while you're watching the game, you feel those same emotions. As the plays are being played out, as your team is against the other team, you have that sense of drama of like, did he catch it? Oh, what happened? And yet, you know that your team has won. What's being played out in front of us here on planet Earth right now is something like that. There is a real battle happening. But because Jesus Christ is risen, he's exalted to the highest place, we know that he wins. We know those who are in Christ are on the winning team. We know every enemy of Christ will be destroyed. And the exaltation of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, shows this. He is, in fact, exalted. Every knee will bow to one who has the name that is above every other name. So we can trust him, believers. In the midst of this time, we may ask why. I hope we're celebrating who he is. He is your Lord, and he is Lord, and he is good. And then the resurrection of Christ also shows that each one will bow before him. Verse 11 points to a future event, the purpose or the result of God the Father exalting him in this way, which includes his resurrection, of course, is so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. This points to a future event, but our eternity is based on a response to him now. This points to a future event which the resurrection of Christ shows will in fact happen. Each one will bow before him, and our eternity is based on our response to him now. What do I mean by that? Well, we can see in this text that it says that those who are in heaven above will bow, and of course that's the angels. They're already bowing. They're already rejoicing and worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. Scripture affirms that again and again. It speaks of those under the earth, that's the demons and the forces of darkness, Satan and his cohorts. They, of course, are not bowing now. And when they do bow, they're going to do it only with great regret as they are separated from God forever and ever in outermost darkness. And then it speaks of those on the earth. Every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. On earth, that's humanity, that's us. And will we be among those like the angels rejoicing? before him, or like the demons admitting he's Lord with great regret and separate from him. That is really determined by our response to him in our lifetime. We do it now gladly by faith, or we do it later with great regret. And to do it now gladly by faith is, of course, to rejoice even more when we stand before him, our Lord, and bow before him, our Lord, when he returns. The book of Philippians speaks of that great reality. Believers in Christ eagerly await his return, where we bow before him and worship him as Lord. How's this regret confession work? Well, let me share with you an illustration I think many of us had back on the schoolyard, the playground, when we were kids. And a couple guys in a good-natured wrestling match or whatever the competition was, it could have been a thumb war, it could have been a real match. At some point, somebody says, "Uncle." Now, you were never glad to say "uncle." You always said "uncle" with great regret. "I don't want to admit it, but you beat me." So the unbeliever, so the demonic forces will one day say Jesus is Lord in this uncle kind of way, not gladly rejoicing in him as their Savior, but admitting it with great regret to acknowledge he is not. So what's the bottom line? Confess him today and do not delay. Because here's the deal. Everyone will kneel. Do it now with joy, or then say, "Oh boy, I really blew it. He's Lord and I knew it, but I refuse to admit in the days of COVID." Now my prayer is that there be no one hearing these words who ever says, "Oh boy, I really blew it. I missed it. He's Lord and I knew it." And the way that that would be true is that every person hearing these words, this message, would today confess him as Lord. Bow before him in your knees in humble worship. Bow before him in confession, an agreement that he is Lord. He's provided for me what is necessary for my sins' forgiveness. He's exalted above all powers. And today I worship him as my Savior and Lord. And then live life based on that faith confession. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, "There's salvation in no one else, for there is no other name given among men by which we must be saved." There's that name again. Jesus Christ is Lord. And so take that personal step of response. Gladly confess him today, because each one will bow before him one day. And then there's more here. Encouragement for believers, empowering of believers. That's true because of the resurrection of Christ. The resurrection shows there's power for you. We need power from God in the midst of times like this. And that's not just something that's sort of there theologically sitting on the page of the Bible. That's something that's experiential and real in our lives as we look to him and trust in him. I believe that's what Paul was working toward as he gave the believers there in Philippi this hymn in praise to Christ, reminding them of who Christ is, and as they were moved to worship of him. Because in chapter 2, verse 13, Paul gives the power source for their continuing in the faith. In verse 12, it says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed." He wants them to continue to obey, to continue to grow, to continue on in the midst of their own difficult challenges, and we can too. How? Because, verse 13, "For God is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." Over in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, Paul has this wonderful little phrase. He says, his goal is that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Here's the Apostle Paul experientially wanting to know Christ more and know his power and working in his life more. And that power of his resurrection is not just for Paul. That power of his resurrection is experientially something we as believers in Christ have and can take hold of as the Spirit of God works in us. And this is all true because Christ is risen. My prayer would be that in these days you would take hold of that power, that life-shaping resurrection power, for growing, for giving God glory, and for doing his work together with his people. This is power for serving to his glory. This is power for shaping in times like this. This is power of God's sanctifying work in us always. And the resurrection of Christ shows that is real. That is yours, brothers and sisters. This hymn takes us to the worship of Christ, and that's where the gospel takes us, isn't it? The gospel takes us from that being consumed with ourselves to now being about Christ for the glory of Christ. Paul says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain, because I know I'm in Christ. That's what they needed in their crisis. That's what we need in ours. What is your response today to the person of Jesus Christ, to the resurrection of Jesus Christ? He is Lord, and his resurrection proves the endorsement of the Father, the exaltation of the Son, that each one will bow before him, and that there's empowering for believers. Today, I want to encourage you in giving a specific personal response. Don't let this message from God's Word just sit there. Take it to heart today. And we're going to use the cell phone as our tool of response today. Earlier, Pastor Derek mentioned this. I want to ask you to take out your cell phone. Yes, I mean take it out. Could you please do that for me? If you were here, we may have you raise your hands or fill out a sheet. This is how we're raising our hands and filling out our sheet. This is how we're praying in a specific way. Pardon? Okay. So when you reply today, the response we're asking you to give in response is Lord, to acknowledge him as Lord. It's going to take just a few minutes, but once you text to us that response, if there's some kind of step you're taking today, whether it's to receive Christ, to recommit yourself to Christ, to reconnect with Christ's people, his church, or to be about the remultiplication and sharing Christ with others, that response will come to us, and then we will give you a reply back in just a few minutes so we can help you with that. I think you see the slide there. There are four things that we're asking you to consider in your response today. And if you text Lord to that number, we're going to help you take that response. So take out your phone right now, and I just want to walk through these. Then I'm going to say a prayer for us in our response, and then the team is going to come and just give us a little bit of music during a time of personal prayer, reflection, and response. And then you reply and send that text to us, and we will help you take that step. So one way you can respond is to receive, believe the gospel, to confess him as Lord. If you've not done this before in your life and you're hearing this message today, you can take that step today for the first time, filling out that response. You know, the message of the gospel was declared there in Philippi in Acts chapter 16, verse 30, where the Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved." That personal response to Jesus is a step that you can take today. You know, confessing with the mouth as a sincere expression of one's heart is what bowing to Jesus as Lord in faith really looks like. And how do I know that? Because Romans 10:9 through 10a says this: if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. The true and sincere belief of the heart is expressed in the true and sincere confession of the mouth. And the only way one can truly confess Jesus is Lord is by the working of the Holy Spirit, and that's representing a heart that bows down before him. Today, make that confession from a heart that bows before him as Lord, acknowledging that he is the one that paid in full the price for your sins' forgiveness. He is Lord, he is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. If you've a desire to take that step today, when you text Lord, you can indicate in the reply that comes back in a few minutes to you, I want to receive today. I want to believe the gospel. I am taking that step, and we will help you. We're encouraged by those who are already responding, and we want to follow up and pray, but maybe there's some who need to recommit to him today. Many confess they believe in Jesus and then live like they don't. Many confess him as Lord and do not live lives that acknowledge him as Lord. And soberly, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. That's Matthew chapter 7. And furthermore, when we do sincerely confess him as Lord, there's something very concrete that happens. And we want to help you to live that out, to grow in that. One concrete thing, a step that some of you may need to take, is to confess him publicly in believer baptism. This is something the Bible commands, and it's not something that saves us. It's something that saved people do. In fact, right out of the gate, you've said he's Lord. He tells you to do something. Then do what he tells you if he's, in fact, your Lord. And when it's safe to do so, we're going to have a baptism service. I would love for that baptism service here at Trinity to include many who took that step today and saying, I was committed back there on Easter Sunday to taking that step of public confession. I want to acknowledge him publicly as Lord through believer baptism. And if you need help getting on track in your growth, we want to resource you, ideas for how to address needs and issues in your life, ideas to help you get connected in God's word and in fellowship with other believers. If you text recommit, we want to help you as you grow in confessing him and living like it. And a third area, there may be some who need to reconnect. You know, there's a lot of force out there, even before COVID-19, that is pushing people away from connection with God's people. And it's such a blessing that we can connect as God's people through these virtual means, through prayer, phone calls, etc. But we need to be together, and you need to be together with a local body of believers. That's what God designed for you, as a place for you to grow and to be about helping others to grow as well as we worship and serve him. And if you've gotten disconnected or you want to connect more, if you text reconnect, we want to help you connect here at Trinity. If you're not around here, you're hearing this message, and you're not in this geographical region, we'll help connect you with a church somewhere near where you are. We all need the body of Christ, and the body of Christ moves forward when we're all doing our part to connect. Don't listen to the lies of the world that say, I can just live my Christian life on my own. Because he is Lord, you gather together with others who confess him as Lord. You follow his direction to do so because he's your Lord. If you text reconnect, we want to help you take that step. And then reproduce, multiplication. You know, God intended believers to multiply, helping make other believers, disciples to multiply, helping make other disciples, churches to multiply, helping make other churches. And we're all about that here at Trinity Community Church. And if you want to be part of helping us to help multiply disciples, reproducing those who follow after Jesus and serve him. You want to be a part of all that, whatever it looks like for you and your personal contribution to that. We want to see you connect here at TCC, and we want to help you in your growth as God leads and directs you. So right now I'm going to say a prayer for God to guide in our response. Text LORD, whether it's to receive, recommit, reconnect, or reproduce. We'll respond in a brief time to let you fill out which of those it is, and then sometime this week we'll get back to you and walk with you, pray with you as you continue to acknowledge him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would guide each one in their response right now. You are Lord. You have risen from the dead, and you are Lord. There's salvation in no other name. And those who know that salvation confess you as Lord from a heart of sincerity and trust. And that confession, when it's real, is lived out in public confession, declaration. It's lived out in connection and communion with other believers. So God, guide each one in their response. Help each of us, Lord, to take whatever step you by your Spirit are leading us to take today, and courageously reply to that invitation, and then take those steps as you guide us. We thank you, Jesus, for life forever. We gladly confess you now. We thank you for the peace that you give. We bow before you now. And we look forward to that day when we bow before you and confess you throughout all eternity, giving you praise and glory that you deserve as the one who came for us, who rescued us, who resurrected himself and was resurrected by the Father, and you are Lord. We pray this in your name. Guide each one in their response. Amen. I want to invite all of us now to praise him, to worship him, to join in song, and maybe even want to stand up where you are. Certainly, let's rejoice in what Jesus' resurrection means, the hope that we have in him. The team behind me is going to lead us in our closing song, and then I'll share a short benediction. Let's praise him together. He is Lord.
Looked away, the Son of God was laid. has overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome.
Praise God. He is risen. He's forever glorified. You know, you could still respond by texting Lord to that number. And when the reply comes back, there's places for you to click to indicate what that response means. We want to continue to help you to respond to Him in faith and trust and growth, because He is in fact Lord. Let me close with a benediction. These are words from Scripture. And now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, working in you that which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory now and forever. Amen. He is risen.